three scriptures. The first one is in John's Gospel, chapter 19. Reading verse 16. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. They took Jesus, led him away. He, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the Place of the Skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him, two other with them, either side one, and Jesus in the midst. So we look now at Luke's Gospel, chapter 9. Verse 23. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall find it. We join up to where our brother left off in the epistle of Paul to the Galatians, chapter 6. Galatians, chapter 6. Verse 14. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. The Lord bless these portions that we have read together. In the Corinthian epistle, where we have at the beginning of the church history, an assembly that I believe there are some servants of God who would not go to. And yet you find that the dear Apostle Paul, in writing to them, we heard it in prayer last night, he said, we have many instructors, but few fathers. And as a father of that assembly, you can't blame it on the preacher, because he taught them faithfully the Word of God. But the Apostle Paul, when writing to them, and in their state in which they found themselves, through worldly wisdom, carnality, and other things, the Apostle Paul says that he would preach, he would know nothing amongst them, save Christ and him crucified. I was interested, I hope that we pray with intelligence, and that when our brethren pray, that as we say amen, we will take to our hearts these petitions that are arising to the Lord himself. For again, in prayer last night, one brother mentioned, now it might shock some of us, I wondered what he was going to say next. That we may not live a self-centered life. Then he mentioned an assembly-centered life. Of course, my ears pricked up and I said, amen. But he said a Christ-centered life. Let us remember that in the Christian experience, and I quote a dear man of God that I listened to, Hawthorne Bailey, he said that a man can put himself out of fellowship with God contending for church truth. Solemn words and serious words. The Apostle Paul, in seeking to bring his children back to the Lord, he presented the crucifixion or the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. The burden of the four writers of the Gospel, though sometimes when you speak about the four Gospels, you'd think there was four Gospels, but the writers of the Gospel, each of them seem to have a burden at the end of their Gospel or halfway through, and that is the cross of Christ. And then reading the preaching of the early disciples in the book of Acts, and I'm only passing on what I've been taught, but I thank God that what I've been taught and what I have sought to learn from God, I've sought to prove these things from the Holy Scriptures. But I remember first hearing this statement, and it made me wonder. And the dear brother said, you know, there's no preaching of the blood in the book of Acts. But I went through it to find if he was right, and he was. But in the book of Acts, you'll find what they did preach was the cross of Christ. And of course, the reaction to the cross of Christ is not only found amongst the ungodly, but you'll find that in your own heart. You'll find that some of them gnashed their teeth. Others were smitten in their heart by conviction. Some were saved and others rejected it. And so the importance of that message of the early church, the cross of Christ, and all that it means, is a ministry, I believe, that will recover the people of God. I come from the north. I want to say, for your encouragement, one of the great needs we have today is for pioneer preachers. That will get off this circuit from hall to hall. It'll get out and preach the cross. See men and women saved and gathered in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. It's not our work. The work of the Lord, supported by the Lord's people. I'm enjoying my work in the north. The reason I'm enjoying it is I'm seeing the Lord working, gathering out precious souls, new little assembly established, and just marveling myself at the way the Lord is working. Please remember, the assembly always needs recovery. We need revived in our souls. All our servants will admit that. Sometimes I remember this year, in fact, in Ireland, going to a meeting for all day Sunday and all the expectations of the Lord's people. Drawing aside into the side of the road and praying to the Lord. You know, when you're way down, you can't lift many people up. Crying to the Lord. They'd meet the individual need to be able to help the people of God. So I believe here we have in these three verses truths that each one of us need to ponder afresh. View of the coming of the Lord's Day, tomorrow morning, as we gather around the emblems, I want to ask you before the Lord? When is it? How long is it since when sitting around those emblems? Perhaps as we have been hearing last night, tears flowed down your cheeks. Because when we think of the sufferings of the Lord Jesus, I believe it should draw from the depths of our souls a response to that love that has been shed abroad in our hearts, that love that was manifest for us at the place called Calvary. You remember how that each of the writers of the epistles, I believe it's up here above it, with the Apostle Paul in Galatians 2:20, appreciates the individual aspect of the cross of Christ. Writing to the Galatians in all their error of legalism, he presented the cross of Christ. The Apostle Peter, as he would seek to lead the flock of God through the wilderness, he speaks of the sufferings of Christ. And for the few moments that we're going to be gentlemen, we would occupy this platform, I would like to bring each of our hearts there to John's Gospel, chapter 19. There we read of Jesus bearing his cross. Sometimes, not often, but we have heard in prayer the statement that Jesus could have come from heaven, lived down here, and went back to heaven. That's a very unscriptural thought. Because the Apostle Paul, in opening the scriptures to the Thessalonian sinners, he opened and alleged that Christ must needs die and rise again from the dead. We use language that sometimes we don't understand. I was listening to our brother Gooding the other night, the prophet, and he was seeking to lead us and to teach us something about the mysteries of the person of the Lord Jesus. And I'm sure when he went home, he thought that I didn't tell them what I would like to tell them. When we come to the person of Christ and the things of God, we always feel like you read there of the Queen of Sheba, the half hath not been told. So we need to get personally near that cross and just let our souls be saturated with Jesus and his cross. That cross, I believe, perhaps our language is insufficient. I believe that eternity looketh forward to the cross. And if I may say, when you and I get to glory and enter into the glories, we will look back to the cross of Christ. We sing sometimes, Jesus, keep me near the cross. And I honestly believe that if you and I are kept near the cross of Christ, and it affects our hearts and our soul, and leads us to shed a tear, well then you and I can be counted amongst those our brother has been bringing before us as a good and honest heart. In Matthew's Gospel, and we will turn to it for a few moments, the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 26. Reading in verse 67. Then did they spit in his face and buffet him And others smote him with the palms of their hands, saying, Prophesy unto us, thou Christ, who is he that smote thee? Buffeted him with the palms of his hands. Mocked that blessed Saviour, the sufferings of our Lord Jesus Christ. Before God saved me, I was very fond of boxing. And of course, I have to confess that sometimes when I hear it now, the old man likes to hear who was knocked out. Quite often, as you've watched those people in the ring, you find that their face became a mess. Their faces were buffeted. Brethren and sisters, that is what happened to the Savior according to the Scriptures. They took the palm of their hands. Perhaps nearer to it, the clenched fist. They smashed that into that lovely face of our Lord Jesus Christ. And his visage was marred more than any man, more than the sons of men. May God enable us to realize what it was for that blessed Son of God to bear his cross and go forth to the place called Calvary. Beyond recognition, speaking his visage marred more than any man. I don't need to speak to those who have lived a little while. You've looked and you've seen many marred faces. None was ever marred as much as the face of our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. There with that smashed face and the spittle run down his cheeks. Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, the Lord of grace, took the guilty sinner's place and suffered in his stead. Read also in the chapter 27 and verse 26. Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus. Here you find his back, according to the prophecy. They made deep their furrows, my back. The Apostle Paul refers to that. It strokes according to what we understand. Leather strokes with tips of steel. They brought that on the back of the blessed Savior. And we know that when he suffered, he threatened not. Not only was his back plowed like a field with a buffeting, but we also read in verse 29, when he had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head. Reading his hands, they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. And they spit upon him, took the reed and smote him on the head. So whether it was the blessed Savior, every part of him suffered the physical sufferings from the hands of men. There are other scriptures I know that you'll be joining up in your mind in relationship to the cross of Christ. Let me ask you the question. Are you saved today? If you're saved, how often do you repair to that place called Calvary? I would suggest, brother, not in your prayer in the morning, you always start with kindness. Will a hymn writer be able to say here, we rest in wonder hearing. All my sins on Jesus lay, and a full atonement from the precious blood he shed. It was his cross. It was none other, nobody else's cross. It was the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. There on that cross, the Lord Jesus Christ, as the representative of man, Peter says that he suffered once for sin. He made propitiation, the just for the unjust, substitution, that he might bring us to God, reconciliation. You have some young brethren here, and older brethren too. Your preaching of the gospel, please remember this. You may be able to tell a story. Some people could merely preach the gospel from old Mother Hubbard. She went to the cupboard. You know the story well. That isn't the preaching of the gospel. When we preach the gospel, please remember, put the cross as the center of your message. It's not a matter of always changing. There's so much associated with the cross. There's so many truths associated with it that we can preach with freshness and with fullness the story of his redeeming love. I want to hurry over to Luke's Gospel, chapter 9. Here the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking to all. I want you to notice in verse 23.
This must be a great challenge to each of our hearts, because it excludes none of God's people whatsoever. And those of us who are going to be honest before God's people, there's many times when the will of God is presented to us, that the first thing that we do think about is ourselves. But here we have the Lord Jesus, and he brings each of us face to face with our cross. Not his cross, but our cross. And of course, I'm sure you've heard often people who have trials, and trials they are in life. It might be, and we have a number of sisters in the north whose husbands are not saved, but that's not their cross. It might be a nagging partner, but that's not the cross. Sometimes you may have a bunion on your toe, but that's not your cross. What is the cross? I want you to notice what the Lord Jesus Christ says it is. He speaks in verse 24 about saving his life. Shall lose it. Losing his life shall save it. Our brother has introduced us to kingdom subjects. And I think perhaps this is what we need, a little bit more teaching of the kingdom of God. I know as a young believer I heard that the kingdom of God was in advance, and of course everything about it was set aside. I don't believe that anymore. I believe the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 20, he speaks about preaching the gospel of the grace of God that saves sinners. And then he says, among whom I went preaching the kingdom of God, and if there's a subject, brethren and sisters, that should sober every one of us, it's the teachings of the kingdom of God. And here you have face to face with you, your life. That's your Christian life. That's the life that I now live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And I tell you, brethren and sisters, I believe that God's people need to realize that there is a cross in their life. That there is no way that you're going to live life without suffering. It's a suffering that should be expected. I know that it can be deep, but nevertheless, the Lord never promised skies ever blue. He has shown us clearly that to follow Him. And that is what the gospel is to do. The Lord Jesus Christ said, go ye into all the world and make disciples. And a disciple is one who has received the Lord Jesus, who bows his heart to the teaching of Christ, seeks by the grace of God to follow Him. And it's a costly thing. But it's a thing that has great compensation. One little life down here. See, your brother Hay lived a life for God in China. And I'm sure as he looks back, it's just like a vapor. Also his dear wife. Because they serve the Lord too. So life isn't very long. Some of you have got children in your arms. Seems like there's a long period ahead of you in bringing them up. Don't neglect them. Preachers, don't neglect your children. If God has made you a husband, you have a responsibility. If He has made you a father, you have a responsibility not to be given over to the mother. And if married life is not for you, then don't get married. You have a responsibility as a father. As you look at these children sometimes, looks like there's years ahead of you. But I sit in the morning at breakfast. And I wish they were back. They're gone. It's not very long. Life is but a vapor. Appears and disappears. I want to ask you, what about your life? I believe young people should prepare themselves for life. If you have the opportunity to get an education, get it. Please remember this, you've got a life to live. And there's a cross that the Lord Jesus Christ brings into it. And let me come right near your soul, and I'm not saying that you, to the cross of Christ is self-denial. Nobody says self-denial. In other words, you'll not eat this or you'll not eat that. It's entirely different. It's denial of self. Denial of that thing that we read of in Romans chapter 7. Denial of all Amalek's claims upon us. All his suggestions, even in the service of the Lord. Flesh. Denying ourselves. What is it? I believe it starts in the morning as we get up. And isn't it a joy to your soul when you waken in the morning and realize that you're saved? But you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Maybe I've just got a simplistic way to put it. But I believe what we have here is that as each morning comes around, you and I bow before the Savior. We take up that cross daily. We ask the Lord to give us grace to bear it for Him in a scene in which we live. And that irrespective of the consequences, that we will honor Him in all our ways. Young believer, you take it to school. Young apprentice, you take it into the workshop. There's a young girl in Ireland, I heard about her, she worked in a bakery. They brought in a regulation that they had to cut their hair. Now, I'm not speaking about the sisters. We love the sisters. This young lady had a conviction in her soul that what the scriptures taught was what the Lord expected. She was asked to cut her hair, and she refused to do it and lost her job. But you know, there was a manager in that place, and he was wanting a girl for the office. And it's a true experience that you have. By her standing for the Lord Jesus Christ and obeying Him, bearing her cross, denying what they wanted, and naturally what she would want, she denied that, and she was given a position in the office. Now, that mightn't mean much to you, but if you were born where we were born, it would mean a lot. The job in the office is to be elevated. So you find that it's a simple thing. Getting up in the morning, whether it's the mother in the kitchen, or with the children, or the father, or going out to school, going to work, or the business, no matter where it is, asking the Lord, no matter what the cost today, I bow myself before Thee, and I want to bear Thy name. And even it means the suffering, so be it, Lord, that I may glorify Thee this day. And our brother took us to Galatians chapter 6. That's what encouraged me to give this little word. The Apostle Paul says, "But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." Oh, my fellow believer, if we could just get a little help from the Holy Scriptures on what the world really is. If you would just get beside the Savior there in John chapter 17 and hear Him interceding against the world. If you would hear James saying, "Friendship with the world is enmity with God." Hear the Apostle John speaking about the world and all that is in it, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Hear the Spirit of God speaking about these things shall pass away. And in this world you find that there's a system. And this is what the Lord teaches us. And in fact, in Galatians, maybe some of our brethren would help us here, because we always need help. I think perhaps it is a reference to the religious world. Because you find these Galatians, they were bound up with legality. You know, there are some, and they're looking over into the systems of men today. And they think that that's a freedom that they've got. You remember this. The Lord says, "If my words abide in you, ye shall be free indeed." There's a great liberty, brethren, to be gathered to the name and in the assemblies of God's people. You find that there's a worldly system out there. There's Babylon commercial and there's Babylon religious. You know the hallelujahs, isn't it? In the book of Revelation is when that all comes to an end. What the Apostle Paul here is speaking about is the cross and the word. We have young believers here. You've got the same nature as we have. We're not standing up here saying that we're holier than thou, or we don't have these things that come upon us. We would desire to speak out of our experience. The various things that one finds in the Word. And I would suggest to you, if you want a little help, I think it's F.B. Meyer's book on the five musts of the Christian life. The young lady, apparently, I think I remember what he wrote in that, and how she was speaking about some of the worldly things. And he told her what she should do was to draw a cross and put on which side this activity that she desired would be. That's what the cross does. it not only brings me to the foot of Calvary and shows me the love of God flowing down in all grace and mercy to redeem my precious soul, it also takes me and it gives me a responsibility. I must close. I had a little thing written in my Bible. I picked it up in the... I don't have too many to fellowship with, but I like those little choice gleanings. And I wrote this out, and it was a sign in a tailor's shop, and I'm going to close with it. And the tailor wrote this, "I die to live, I live to die. The more I die, the more I live." That's a little joke, isn't it? The brethren, it has got a deep moral. May the Lord help us to keep near the cross, our personal life, in our preaching, and in our assemblies. And then with God's help and the Spirit's blessing, be able to those men that our brother has been speaking about, having a good and honest heart.